Next month, October 13th, we have our sight and sound trip, and that's on a Saturday. There was a goofy thing I didn't read you last time we were together about a judge, not a judge, a senator, I believe it was. By the way, the last time we were together, for those of you that weren't here, I exhorted people on Thursday night that if they have any of these types of political information that is not hearsay, to bring it in, and we'll be able to compile a bunch of this stuff and put it on the board somewhere so you're aware of where your candidate stands with regards to some of the issues that you would care about as a Christian. This one, one of the ones that I read on Thursday was about Giuliano, that he supports gay marriage and abortion. So if he does by some chance get to be able to be the candidate, I will not vote for him. But see, if we have information, we can make an informed decision about what we want to do. Not who you, I'm not telling you who to vote for or what party to register. I'm telling you, if we have information, we can do that. So if you come across this kind of stuff, bring it in, keep us informed, or send it to chapter and verse 1 at AOL, and Kim will retrieve it. One of the subjects that was in one of these from the internet, and again, these are from Christian institutions that we get. Focus on the Family, Wall Builders. These are credible organizations. These isn't something that was just founded overnight. So don't bring me something from Dear Abby without being able to document it. But one of the stories was a senator brought a suit against God, and he's suing God for the World Trade Center, acts of terrorism and disaster against the country. And this is a real live senator in our country. And he quoted Katrina, and he quoted the World Trade Center, maybe some other things. And he just wanted, so he brought this suit against God. So they don't know what to do with this thing. However, about 3 or 4 days after we received that letter, we received a video. And what happened, and in the video, the guy said this was a miraculous response, because where you file these suits, there appeared a booklet with a bunch of documentation. Now, nobody saw who dropped the booklet off. They said they were there 1 minute working. They turned around, and a booklet was set on top of the table. And inside of the booklet, it was God's rebuttal to what was going on. And what it said was that his suit was no good, not able to do that, because no one ever served God with papers or whatever, something to that effect. And then he went on to say, and he says he didn't call such and such and didn't call such and such, is when people, you know, turn away, that's what happens. And he says, and he doesn't make terroristic threats, but he will say that come next term, you will not be in your Senate office. No, I don't know. I guess somebody wrote it or whatever, but nobody saw who put it there or did whatever, so it's got to get thrown out of court. That was pretty interesting. On the back wall, please pay attention to that. Stand up for Christ. Please, I exhort you to write that web address down if you haven't seen it yet, and go to that address and sign that petition. It's a good thing. They're looking for 1 million signatures. One of the churches took that full page ad out. And honey, you know what I need you to do? Why don't you get me that address back there so I can let the people on the tapes know what it is and they can turn around. Just bring that whole thing up here, and they can be informed of it also. But this was in USA Today this past week, and it was September 21st. And what it says is Enough is enough. Stand up for Christ. Join the Million Voices for Christ petition. We need to have 1 million signatures so that our voices will be heard. The petition states it's time for Christians to stand up and say enough is enough. The name of Jesus Christ should not be mocked, nor those who love him slandered for their beliefs. It is time for the people of faith around the country to stand together against religious slander, bias, bigotry of all types, including Christianity. Then it says, sign the petition at www.miracletheater.com. So that's a good thing. When you have numbers, people hear it. And what they're going to look at is if they get that signature, they're going to look at that's a million votes. That's what they're going to look at. Well, what I want to share with you this morning, I'm not quite sure yet, so it's going to be kind of as we go along. But what I have was something we went out yesterday with the believers that were here, and we were able to pass some of these out and another little piece of information to some of the people around the area. And it's a little pamphlet that gives you a responsibility about voting. And it's real informative because it quotes Psalm 33:12, where it says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And also it quotes Proverbs 29:2, excuse me, where it says, when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people groan. And that's the whole thing about getting godly men and women in the office so that everyone can rejoice. On the back of this pamphlet, it has quotations from founding fathers and our early forefathers of the country who were important in organizing our government, our constitution, this sort of thing. One of the quotes I found interesting was from the President of the United States, John A. Garfield. And his quote was, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. Do you hear that? The people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If the body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it is because of the people's tolerance of ignorance, recklessness, and corruption. If it be intelligent, brave, and pure, it is because the people demand these high qualities. If the next centennial does not find us a great nation, it will because those who represent the enterprise, the culture, and the morality of the nation do not aid in controlling the political forces. And that was President James A. Garfield. But one of the interesting things about President Garfield, that he was also an ordained clergyman. It was Reverend James A. Garfield. And there's other names and people who said great things. Reverend Charles Finney, who was credited with one of the great awakenings and a revival back in the 1800s. Reverend Frederick Douglass, who was a minister of the gospel and a civil rights leader in the 1800s. He was a black man. John Jay, the original Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, was another one. And Reverend Francis Grimmie, who was a minister. And they just have some quotes. And so when you're able to pass these things out, people can look at them. Now, this is a piece of paper, and for the most part, it's nicely done. And there's just words on the paper, but these words communicate heart and thought and intent behind things. Another thing that I have here with me this morning is this is a bank statement. This is Chapter and Verse Bible Fellowship. And this particular bank is Commerce Bank. Now, Commerce Bank is one of the banks that we use here in Pennsylvania for the ministry. And every month, what happens is Commerce Bank will send chapter and verse a statement. The statements will reflect our deposits. The statements will reflect our checks. And most of all, the statement will reflect our balance. That's a good thing. And again, this is just a piece of paper. It says Commerce Bank, New Jersey, phone number, has our name. And it says business checking, because that's what they have to open us up as a business. And it lists the checks, it lists the dates, it lists the numbers of the checks, and it lists the balance. And it lists all the transactions. And this is something that we receive. Now, I'm sure that everyone in this room receives a bank statement. Is that true? Right? You get them. And so, again, they're just words on a piece of paper, but those words reflect what you have in the bank. You don't physically have this money in front of you, do you? No, but you believe what's on this document. Now, perhaps if the bottom of this said we had $3,000 in the bank and my wife tells me we have $7,000 in the bank, what will we do? We would go and dispute it, right? Because there's a discrepancy. Now, in order to dispute this, we would need to have documentation that would support our claim, correct? We would have to have those extra deposit slips that didn't appear here. And again, those deposit slips would be just a piece of paper with writing of a deposit on it. This is a wonderful piece of paper. See all that fine print in the back? You know what kind of statement that is? Credit card. Okay, credit cards, when you get an application, they always have lots of these pages that you can't read. You need one of those magnifying glasses. Now, this particular credit card is for, I don't know, business card account, so it's got to be chapter and verse also. So this is a credit card, and this tells us what we bought, when we bought, etc., etc., etc. Up here, it tells us our total credit limit. It tells us our credit that's available. It tells us our cash advance limit. It tells us the billing cycles. It tells us all these things. And over on the right-hand side, it says new balance. And that's how much we owe if we spend anything in the last month. Now, of course, this is an old one. She just grabbed whatever. I didn't need it. This is 05, as a matter of fact. But again, it's a piece of paper. And it's just a piece of paper with words on it. That's all it is. And we take this and we look at it and we see it and we say, well, you want to know something? I'm going to go buy something because we have our statement. So you know what we do? We take this. You know what that is? A credit card. Now, this isn't paper, but it's plastic. Now, on top of this, you have what? Numbers. You have writing. It says Capital One. This particular card says chapter and verse on it. Now, if I wanted to buy something for the ministry, for instance, we were going to buy a new TV or a sound system, I'm going to go to Kingdom, which we purchase a lot of our audio equipment from, or one of these other electronic stores, and I'm going to get the best price. I'm going to shop around. Sometimes I do for weeks, sometimes months, and then when I find the best price, I go and I purchase it. Now, when I go and purchase it, I very, very, very rarely will take cash out of my pocket and say, here. Normally, what we'll do is we'll take this little thing, which corresponds to a statement like this, and I'll hand them this card, and you know what happens? They take it, and they scan it, or they swipe it, and then they give me the sound system. But if they scan this card, and it goes, beep, something's wrong, and I say, well, scan it again. And if it says, beep, something's wrong, they say, you don't have enough money, or this card is not valid. You know what I say? I say, you're mistaken. You know why I say you're mistaken? I say you're mistaken because I have this, what? This statement. I know what's written on this piece of paper, and I know that my balance is more than the $1,000 that I want to spend for this sound system. So what do? I call a ruckus, And if I can't cause a ruckus, you know what I do? I go somewhere else who's going to accept my card. Or I call the credit card store and I get the stuff straightened out. You understand? We went down the seashore this year. You know what we did? I took a credit card back in March and I paid for half of the room. When I got down to the seashore, I wasn't concerned that when I got there and I packed my whole entire family up and there were no other openings in the place, that I was going to get there and the person was going to say, well, we don't have your reservation. Or we don't have, you know why? Because I had a confirmation. What was a confirmation written on? Piece of paper. What did the confirmation consist of? Words. Letters and what? Numbers. Really? What's a confirmation consist of? Piece of paper, letters and what? That's it. Numbers. Perhaps a picture of the place you're staying at in the background, maybe. But it's just words, letters, numbers. This is words, letters, and numbers on a piece of paper. Letters and numbers on a card. Letters and numbers on a bank statement. Letters and numbers and a picture on a piece of paper. Now, nobody here would question me, I think, if I said, I want to take you out to dinner, and I took this card and I paid for it. No one would ever say, I wonder if Nick has enough money on this card to pay for our dinner, would you? Would you doubt that? Especially if it was under $100. Right? Or would you doubt that if we went somewhere, I said, hey, Donald, could you come help me pick up this new sound system for this church? Can we use your truck? Would you doubt when I went to pick that up and I handed them this card that, it's stolen, or there's not enough money? Nobody would doubt that, would they? I mean, why is that? And it's just a stupid card, and it corresponds with a piece of paper, and the paper just has numbers, and it just has letters on it. And yet, you know what we do? This is what we do. Did you ever see a mother at Kmart on a back-to-school special? In September? And she's got the ad in her hand, and it says pencils, 3 boxes for $1, notebooks, 5 for $1, pens, 10 for $1. And when she gets up to the register, and the cashier types it in, and it comes up $5, $5, $5. Do you ever see a woman? Do you see what she does? They start out nice. Excuse me, I think you made a mistake. Then the cashier, if it's wise cashier, she'll act accordingly. If it's a new cashier, especially some of these kids that got ear piercings all over their bodies, they may say, the computer never makes a mistake. Right about that time, if I'm in the line, this is what I do. You know why? Because I know what's about to happen. Because I know that cashier just stepped over the line with a feline of the species. And she's got that ad in her hand, right? So you know what she's going to do? Well, she might swat him with the ad. First, he said, you made a mistake. And her voice gets a couple decibels higher. I'm sorry, man. You're going to have, I'm not leaving this line until you. And then what happens? This beautiful, kind, young, tender woman turns into this gigantic Godzilla with claws. Digs her heels in and says, I'm not leaving till I see a manager. And the line is. Why? Because she's got a piece of paper. And you know what the piece of paper says? It's got words on it. It's got numbers on it. And you know what she wants? She wants her pencils for $1. You know why? Because she believes the words on the paper that says, I'm entitled to these pencils for $1. You advertise these pencils for $1, and I'm not leaving this store until I get these pencils for $1. And you know, if she's got that piece of paper, it may take a little bit, but you know what she gets? Her pencils for $1, right? And not only does she get that, she may get another couple coupons to get out of here and give this woman whatever she wants, because now she's going nuts. And how did she accomplish that? She accomplished it with a piece of paper, and you know what the paper had on it? Letters and numbers, and perhaps a picture. And she placed her trust, and she believed so much in that piece of paper that when she went to collect on that piece of paper, she dug her heels in and she did not budge until she got what that piece of paper said. She trusted that piece of paper. She believed that piece of paper. And what did that piece of paper have on it? Letters and numbers. Numbers and words. Words. This says on the outside, Holy Bible, but it contains God's Word. It's words. This is filled with numbers and words. It's printed on a piece of paper. There is no difference between this piece of paper, these numbers, or these words, than there is between this credit card, and these numbers and these words that are on it. There is no difference between this piece of paper, these numbers, and these words, than there is with that sale paper that the mommy had when she went to Kmart. The one that she dug her feet in and said, I'm not leaving till you give me what you said you're going to give me because I'm entitled to it. This is God's Word with letters and numbers on the same type of paper. Look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word, these letters, these numbers, these phrases, these sentences, the psalmist says, I have hid them in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Have you hidden God's word in your heart that you would not sin against him? Have you taken God's word and have you put in as much trust in God's word? Have you put as much faith in God's word? Have you put your life and staked your life on God's word as you do your bank statement, as you do your credit card statement, as you do a stupid ad from a grocery store that you take in hand, your little hand, and you go to the store and you say, you said that I can have this for this, and I am here to get it. And when they say to you, you can't have it, do you just crawl away? I don't think so. Well, do you do the same with God's word? Have you hid it deep in your heart that you don't sin against it? Look at Psalm 107. Look at verse 20. He sent his what? His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. God said that he sent, again, his word. And his word produces healing. And his word produces deliverance. It delivers them from their destructions. You see, if you were in prison and you received a note from the warden that says we're going to pardon you, and you had that pardon in your hand, and you read the pardon, and it says that the President of the United States did in fact sign this pardon, and as of such and such, September 20, whatever, you are a free man. If anyone tried to keep you in prison, if anyone tried to deny you from those rights, what would you do? You'd go for this what? This pardon. Because you were delivered from your destruction. You were delivered from evil. And you would take this and you would say, I don't think so. Read this. You know why? Because you have so much trust and faith in what's written on the page of this document that you are absolutely confident that you're walking out of that prison. You call your family, you call your relatives, there's going to be a big party. You're leaving prison. Why? Because you got the document to provide that information to you and to back it up, correct? And all it is paper. Paper with words on it. That's all. But that paper with words on it leads you to a higher authority that backs up those words, right? In this case, it'd be the President of the United States. It's a pretty high authority. You could rest assured that if you have the President's signature, that you're going to get what that paper says, right? And yet, God says he sent his word And he healed them and he delivered them from all their destructions, from their destructions. And we read over that verse. And when we get ourselves in a mess or when we find ourselves in a sticky situation, you know what we do? We just forget about it for the most part. We don't go and say, wait a minute. I got this word that entitles me to such and such. And God Almighty backs up this word. God Almighty backs up this word. Now, I'm not leaving here until I get what this word says that I'm entitled to. We don't do that. We do that with pencils. I can see how important that is. We do it with buy one, get one free yogurts. And if we don't, you know what we get? It's called a what? Rain check, right? We do that with buy one, get one free Breyers ice cream. God forbid, especially if it's chocolate. But when it comes to God's word, it's just words. It doesn't mean anything. I can't collect on what it says. It sounds to me like sometimes we get talked out of who we are and what we have. Philippians chapter 4. Who do you think wants to talk you out of who you are and what you have? God? No, of course not. The devil does, doesn't he? Look at Philippians 4. Read verse 19 with me. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. See, what's the Bible say? The Bible says God's going to take care of your need. Does it say that you're going to take care of your need? No. Now, do you have to be part of it? Yes, you do. And like I always tell people, you do your part, and God will then do his part. God expects you, as a matter of fact, to do your part, and then he will do that which you cannot do. He will go over and above. But my God shall supply all your need. Okay. Is God big enough to supply every person's need in the world that calls upon him? Do you think he's that big? How about your mother? Can God take care of your mommy if she calls upon him? Can God take care of your dad? Can God take care of your children? Can he supply their needs? Right? As a matter of fact, if I don't teach my children how to look to God to supply their needs, what's going to happen when I'm not around? Right? You ever hear you teach people how to fish, you don't give them fish? But these are just words. They're just words. They're words to people that don't believe them, or they're words to people that don't have faith. See? Look at 3 John, another scripture. Look at verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. What's God's will for you? That you would what? Prosper and be a healthy person. All right. If you got that type of an ad from Kmart or from one of the stores, you'd bring it in and you'd say, what? I want these prosper pills, right? And I want these be in health pills. I need some of them. And you wouldn't leave until you got them or you got a rain check. And some people might, if they didn't get it, turn around and do what? Sue Kmart for false advertisement. Well, God never falsely advertises, you see. We trust our bank statement. We trust our credit card statement. But when it says God's going to supply our need, or when it says that God wants us to prosper, God wants us to be in health, they're not words on a piece of paper like the almighty bank statement. They're not words on the piece of paper like the almighty credit card statement, who never makes a mistake. They're just words. We place our credit card, our bank statement, before this book many times in life. Many times in life. You let the devil talk you out of things. You let the devil cheat you. You let the devil redirect your thoughts, your hearts, your allegiances. you place other things first in your life before God, and it's all just to cheat you out of the Word. Would you let the devil talk you out of your pencils? Would you let the devil give you something else less than your pencils? Like, here's four broken pencils. You can have these for a dollar. Would you accept that? No. Why? Because you got a piece of paper that says you're entitled to this, right? Sure it is. And yet, what do we do for the most part? Nothing. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Matthew exhorts us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The word first means before the rest. It means preceding or ahead of any others. So in other words, before the rest, preceding or ahead of any other, you know where God is to be positioned? He's be positioned as what? First. First. That means He's first before your mother. He's first before your spouse. He's first before your children. He's first before your job. He's first before your sports, your entertainment, your recreation. He's first. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Then what's the rest of the verse say? All these what? Things will be added to you. See? When we place God first and we have His Word hid in our heart and we keep His Word first, then God is able to supply our need. But if we place other things first before God, okay, then we have failed. And in that category of life, we have sinned against His Word. And that's not our heart. Our heart is to keep His Word. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Not that we want to sin against God. 2 Corinthians 9, look at verse 8. It says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God is able to do that. Now you say to me, but you don't understand. I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing the other thing. And this is what I say to you. Ma'am, you don't understand. These pencils aren't a dollar. So what do you say? Okay, goodbye. Now see, stupid pencils, a crummy dollar bill, and you know what you're ready to do? You're ready to sit there, pitch a tent until you get your pencils. That's what you'll do. Right? But God says He's able to make all grace abound towards you, that you will have all sufficiency in all things, that you'll be able to abound to all good work. And you say, this is what God's Word says, this is where I'm planting myself. No, you know what you do? That devil don't even have to be there. Because you know why he don't have to be there? Because he has already pre-trained you how to respond. Sure. It's called strongholds, mental strongholds that he has built in your mind. So he doesn't need to sit there and talk you out of it. You talk yourself out of it. Well, that's what the Word says, but then you say, well, I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do this. And then you know what? Every time you say, I got to do this, this is what happened. Where God starts out as number one, you say, I got to do this. Now where's he at? And I have this responsibility. Now where's he at? And I got to help so-and-so. Now where's he at? And I got to, see? And what happens? You know what happens? You believe your bank statement. You trust your bank statement. You believe your credit card statement. You believe the stupid check that you take out of your pocket when you go grocery store, that you got that money in the account. And if they say you don't, right? You believe the ad where you want your pencils, right? And what are those things consist of? Words. Whose words? Human words. Men, women, Cocker Spaniel, I don't know. Somebody writes these words. And you're ready to go to bat for the ad. And yet God says he's going to do this for you. And you know what we say? Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. What's the deal, people? Has someone been hoodwinked somewhere along the line? That's a silly thing, isn't it? Look at Proverbs 3. That's what the Grinch said. What's the deal? Here you go. Let's pretend we got the Sunday paper. We open up to the sales section. And we read in verse 5, trust in the Lord. Here's a special. 2 for 1. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. That's what we got. So we're confronted with a situation. And we want to rectify the situation, whether it's in our life or in somebody else's life. So you know what we say? What do you need? How can I help you? We don't say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We don't say, well, maybe I ought to pray about this. We don't say, well, maybe let me go over and talk with so-and-so and share God's word with so-and-so and see if I can introduce the word. See, that's why a lot of times in secular arguments where I could be involved, I don't get involved. Because unless I can bring the word into that situation, I know I am powerless to resolve it. You know why I know that? Because I've wakened up with mud and everything else and egg on my face 100,000 times. I've done that. I try to be Dr. Phil. I try to resolve problems, sense knowledge-wise, given the best help I know how to give and good intentions and out of a pure and loving heart, but I was dead wrong because I never resolved anything. Never resolved anything. All I did was empower their weakness. And when I was there and they had an ear to bend and a helping hand to lend, it was okay. But when I wasn't, I had just empowered their weakness because you know what they looked for? An ear to bend and a hand to lend. Okay? Then I got smart and I said, well, look, God's able to take care of the whole world. If we trust in God, why don't I introduce God to you? And then you can learn to trust God and then he could be your father and then he can take care of you the way he wants to, because you want to know something? Even me as your father, I'm going to let you down. And I only have a limited supply of resources to draw from to give to you. So the loving thing to do is let me introduce you to God. You understand? Let God be your sufficiency. Let God draw you close to his heart. Let God take care of you. At 12 o'clock at night when there's a problem, you don't have to call me and wake me up. You know what? Call God. He never sleeps. It's a good deal, right? Or if I need such and such, or you need such and such, you don't have to call me and ask me for such and such. You know what you do? Learn how to pray. Learn how to have faith built in your heart. Learn how to trust and believe God. And boy, aren't you just on cloud 9 when God comes through for you? Aren't you? Doesn't that build believing in your heart? Doesn't that excite you? Doesn't that want to take you to a place where you just want to do more for God? Because you see him work in your life? But you know what? If we don't give God an opportunity to work in our lives, you'll never receive that type of joy. You'll never experience that type of excitement. If you don't give God an opportunity to work in someone else's life, you know what you're doing? You're withholding the blessing of God, the excitement of God, the experience of God from that individual's life. Now, you may be doing that under loving intentions, but that's wrong. That's wrong. Because you want to direct people towards God who will take care of them forever. Does that make sense? It's not rocket science. Hey, there's more to the special. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones, where the blood is made. It's a healthy thing when you trust in the Lord. It's a healthy thing when you acknowledge the Lord. Okay? You want to stay healthy? You want to run your course to the end, and then you run out of gas, and then if the Lord should tarry, you die with dignity and honor? Trust in the Lord. Don't lean to your own thoughts. Do what the Scriptures say, and it will bring health to you. Verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And you know what we do? Oh, they're just words. That's just a piece of paper. Word says, honor the Lord. You know, we just got done reading. We're supposed to trust him. We just got done reading. We're not supposed to think for ourselves. We're supposed to acknowledge him in all our ways. Yes, we think for ourselves, but we acknowledge him. We just got done reading, don't be wise in your own eyes. I got this all figured out. This is how we're going to do it. Don't do this, and it's going to be healthy to you. And then we get to verse 9. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. And what happens? This is what happens. Ma'am, I have this ad here that says 10 pencils for a dollar. And she says, no way. And what do you do? Okay, goodbye. That's what we do when it comes to this portion of the verse. Yeah, but I got that car payment, and I really want this dress, and I really got to have these shoes because I can't buy the dress without the matching shoes, you know. And I've been really wanting to go to this musical, and every time you say, and you know what's happening from number one, he's what? But the 10 pencils for a dollar, I ain't leaving. This is what it says. This is where it, here's my dollar. I'm going to fulfill the obligation that you said I had to fulfill. Now I want my 10 pencils, right? We ain't leaving. I don't care how many people are behind. They can all wait. Hey, especially if you're of an ethnic background. Hey, they're advertising something and it ain't true. What? You ever see them kind? Hell yeah. Here's my dollar. You said I give you a dollar. You're going to give me my 10 pencils. I want my pencils. Honor the Lord with my first, with your first fruits, right? Okay. Here's my first fruits, Lord. You said that you're going to bless me. You said you're going to do this. You said you're going to prosper. You're going to, right? We should do the same thing. We shouldn't say, how many of you would go to Kmart with the ad and say, here's a nickel. I want 10 pencils. That's good, right? What do you mean? That's not what it says here. It says a dollar. I know what it says, but I want to give you a nickel. Or better yet, how many would go to Kmart with the ad? Can I have the pencil? She would. Can I have the pencils? Well, where's the dollar? Well, I ain't giving you nothing. I just want the pencils. Would you do that? And then would you cause a ruckus and expect to get blessed by the ruckus? See, that's why my wife married me, because I don't let her do those dumb things anymore. And yet the word says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. Result, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with what? New wine. There's the result. You get your 10 pencils. You get your 10 pencils. Why? Because you believed what was written on the paper. And not only did you believe what was written on the paper, you know what you did? You acted on what was written. You physically took the ad, you went to Kmart, and you said, this is what it says. Here's my dollar. I want my pencils. Right? Now, if they don't have the pencils, what do they give you? Rain check, you go get them later. Well, sometimes we go to God, he doesn't, things don't happen immediately. You know what he gives you? It's coming. For after you have done the word of God, you have need of what? patience, it says in Hebrews. Right? My son, verse 11, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. What does chastening do? Chastening places you in an uncomfortable frame of mind. That's what it does. You know why? Because you're messing up somewhere, and when God chastens you, it's uncomfortable for you. That's what it does. See, if you're blowing it in an area of life, cheating on your spouse, when you hear a sermon about fidelity, when you hear a sermon about unity, marriage, how sacred it is, etc., it chastens you. It makes you feel uncomfortable, right? Sure, it's right. Okay. Where do you go when you feel uncomfortable in your mind? Where do you go? How do you deal with the reproof of God? How do you deal with the chastening of the Lord when you feel uncomfortable? Do you ignore him? You know what I see people do sometimes, especially when I'm teaching? They don't look at me. You know what they do? They're looking everywhere else. Especially, they'll be here in the books. They'll be here. They'll be here. They'll be looking down here. Because I upset them. Not my intention to upset them. But see, the Word of God starts to gel. And the Word of God is pure. And the Word of God brings evil to light. And it places people in an uncomfortable situation. I want to read you something. And the names have been changed to protect the guilty. Many years ago, and I mean many years ago, almost to the exact date, I received this from a person. And I was ministering to this person and their wife, helping them out. They had devil spirits running their lives. And God wrought a great deliverance the first time we were together with my wife and myself. But I knew there was more and the work wasn't finished. And I said to the husband, I said, you know, you need to come see me because you got some problems too. And that's all I said. Now, he had just saw demons come out of his wife. You got to understand the situation. That named themselves, that shuddered in front of me and cried for me to let them leave. My wife was there, those two. And he had just gone through this, and he saw a miraculous deliverance. Couldn't deny what was happening. And I just said to him, I said, you need to come see me. You got some problems too. And this is what he writes to me. Dear Nick, thanks for your teaching on forgiveness and tending to my wife last night. Your heart to minister to us and teach us things that can help us in our marriage in Christ is greatly appreciated. I'd like to come over and such and such. I have to admit, I was a bit surprised about your comments to me the second time we walked into your office. I wasn't sure that if you were implying that the problems I have are of a possessive nature as my wife has. Now watch what he does. I know that there are infirmities that I have and the sins that drag me down that make my walk with God weak. I generally try to take care of them as they come up in terms with my fellowship with God. Have I conquered all of them that come up? Many old ones I have cleared up, but some that linger on still occur from time to time. I'm working on them to clean them up, and I've made great progress. Am I totally there? Am I living completely clean in a sin-free life? No. Am I endeavoring to get there? Yes. Are these the things that we need to bring up in a ministering session? I don't know. Is it profitable for my wife to know these sins and for me to know hers? I don't know. I believe there is some profit to this. Now watch how it goes. But I think we can also get carried away to the point where we begin to focus on the flesh too much and where we can begin to monitoring everything we do. Now you know what he's doing? Now he's teaching me. Now he's trying to convince me that it's okay for my wife, but it's not okay for me. This is a demon of pride, just so you know. I know that this root is not the will of God. Now he just comes out and says it. I know that this route is not the will of God. And if I'm going to be put, and if I'm going to put the breastplate of righteousness on as my weapons against warfare and the adversary, I can't be tied up with being too introspective and legalism in my mind. I also realize that it's impossible to perfect the flesh in the sins committed. I am a perfectionist by nature, etc., etc. That's another name of a demon. All I am recommending is to be careful with all of this, because there's a fine line. If we focus too much on the flesh, it's easy to get into a snare and more difficult to renew ourselves by putting on the new nature and walking in the reality which Christ made available with our God. I'm talking about renewing your mind. I'm talking about getting demons out. You renew your mind all you want. They won't get the demons out. So and so, my wife has put her trust in you and believe that you are a true, effective minister of God. I acknowledge you also as a minister, but I am not so sure of your ability and experiences, and I'm a little bit less trusting at this point. Is your own life, now here comes the dagger, is your own life and marriage and family life so perfect that you don't have problems in your family? I'm not that naive to believe that. Are you willing to confess your sins to a brother and sister of Christ? You see, I trust God and my Lord Jesus Christ to bring deliverance. Do I believe that God will work through you as a minister? Yes, but I also think that you're requiring too much of me. You're requiring me to trust you too completely. And I also believe that's too premature. I don't know much about your teachings. I don't know much about your ministering abilities. And I don't have that confidence in you. Do I think that you've made some premature assessments about our situation to this point? Such and such. I don't think you have the picture completely clear, etc., etc., etc. Where did this guy go in his mind when I made the demons in him uncomfortable? Because that's what made him uncomfortable. You know where he went? He went to his brain. He went to his intellect. Because he thinks he was so damn smart. And then you know what he tried to do? He didn't try to do this. This is what the demons tried to do. The demons tried to talk me out of touching him. The demons didn't want me going into that icky place of his life because it was uncomfortable. And the demon said to him, this is uncomfortable for me. Retaliate. Push him back. How am I going to do that? He said, this is how you do it. Hit him with the word. Use your brains. Now, do you actually think I'm that dumb? I may look that dumb, okay? And that plays to my favor many times. But I'm not that dumb, especially when it comes to demons. So what happens? You know what happens? He's got as many spirits as he did before. That's what happens. Where do you go in your mind when you're uncomfortable? Do you try to justify your sin? And God forbid, do you try to justify it with Bible verses? With what you think you know from the scriptures? That you want to quote out of context? My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Why would you fight against that? Why? It's for your own good. Why do you fight against God? What, Jesus? Tell Paul. Paul, you're going to get a hole in your foot. It's hard to kick against the pricks, right? That's what he told him. Paul had some brains. He said, okay, Lord, you're right. It's for my own good. Why do you fight against God? Why do you let the voices inside of you telling me that's Nick? He's no good. He's this. He's that. He's the other. Why do you let them get me involved? I'm not involved here. You understand? This is between you and God. Why do you let the demons take you out of the picture and say, it's Nick's over here. Don't look at God. Don't look at the word. Don't trust the word the way you would your bank statement. Don't trust the word the way you would the credit card statement. And don't trust the word for your 10 pencils. It's Nick. He has an abrasive character. He's from Norristown. He just can't speak right. He doesn't use the right expletives when he talks. You think his life is that perfect? You think his children are that perfect? And then you start, oh, yeah, well, you know, and then you know where you are? You're over there. You know where God wants you? He wants you over here. And you know who he used? Me. I got news for you. you don't have to take much time to look at me and see that I've got a lot of problems in my life. But I'm not the standard for you. You understand? Jesus Christ is. Where do you go in your mind when you're uncomfortable? Do you weasel out of it? You talk yourself out of it? And you got Bible verses to back it up, you know, because you're smart. You got little cliches to back it up because you think you're smart. You know what you're doing? This is what you're doing. God said to you in the book of James, when you look in the glass, you see what you see, right? All right. When God reproves or brings something to light, he shows you, he says, look here, look in the glass, Donald. This is you. Donald looks. Donald sees. His hair's out of place. Donald sees. He missed a spot shaving. Donald sees his mustache is crooked. This is what God shows Donald. He said, Donald, this is you. Now, what do you want to do about it? Okay. You get upset. I'm uncomfortable about that. No. You say, well, that's great. He trims his mustache, he combs his hair, and he wipes the shaving cream off his face. Now he can go out into the world and be a shining light. But if you see yourself as this, and God is gracious enough to show it to you, and you turn around and say, that's not that bad. I can live with that. How can God help you? You know what you're doing? You're refusing to change. God has been gracious. He has reached into the chasm of your heart. He has brought to light what you need in your life to be your best for you and to bring his blessing upon your family. And you say, I can live with this. I'd rather do it this way. I know it says lean not to your own understanding in all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct. I know that, but I can do it this way. He only does it because he loves you. And that's why any ministry who has a minister that doesn't make you feel uncomfortable, you better get out of there. Not that it's his intention to do that, because it's expression of God's love to you. Look at the next verse. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. See? If God loves you, so he's going to correct you. So I just happen to be standing here. So if I'm going to be walking in the Spirit and doing the will of God, and God says, correct them, guess who's got to do the correcting? It's me, O Lord. So this is what I say to you. Don't get mad at the messenger. Don't tell me my hair's out of place. Second haircut I got in a month, by the way. This one's right. Good job, Patchy. I'm just sharing God's love with you. Result, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. You're happy when you do that, when you find those things. So you know what? Listen. Next time you pick up your bank statement, next time you look at a 2-for-1 sale, next time you look at your credit card thing, you need to come to the Word of God with at least, I would like to say, with much more respect. We heard today in manifestations. This is what manifestations say. You need to respect me. You need to respect my word. You need to respect each other. That's what manifestation said this morning. Okay? That's what we heard. You need to have respect. You need to honor the Lord. And we need to trust these words on this piece of paper as much as we would our dumb bank statement. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thanks for your word. Thanks for your love. And thank you, Father, for how you teach us and instruct us. And we love you, Father. And that if we're placed in an uncomfortable situation, we would respond properly. Correct the situation, live life, and move on. We love the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for all that you've done. In his name I pray. Amen.